Well, good morning. So there's a little phrase that is common and popular in our community that it was coined a number of years ago that they say at the building, that big building with all the people in it that sit in it on Sundays down the road. And the phrase is, where would you rather be than right here, right now? Don't you feel that when we gather together in worship? I mean, throughout your week, where do you get to do what we just did? Where would you rather be than in the presence of God with brothers and sisters who love and serve the Lord as we lift our voices as one to worship the God of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who created everything? Where would you rather be than right here, right now? I'm glad you chose to be with us this morning, that you're sitting here with us, that you're participating online. Actually, South Creek joined in on our worship this morning. They were part of that on their screens because their whole worship team fell ill. I don't know what happened. They got struck with something. But they were joining us, so they were, our voices were, you know, at South Creek and here all at once praising and singing to the Lord. So thank you for being here. My name is Paul. I'm the lead pastor here at Revive. If we haven't met yet, please, I'll be out in the lobby after service. Please say hello to me. Come up and introduce yourself if you haven't already. But if you're a guest, we're so thrilled that you're here with us this morning. If you're here regularly, it is good to see your smiling faces. Well, at least most of them are smiling. There's a couple of you who I wonder about each and every week. Not really. Most of you do smile. I get critiqued that I don't smile enough when I'm up here, so I get it. I understand. But it's anyway, we'll leave that alone. Have you ever had a situation in your life? Have you ever had something that was just larger than you? That when you look at the enormity of the task, whatever it is, that you just know you can't accomplish it on your own. And when this task comes before you, whether it's at home, a project at home, whether it's at work or maybe with your family or somewhere, you just realize the complexity and the size of this issue, and there's nothing, you just feel overwhelmed by it. Can anybody relate to that? That life just gets to the point where you're like, God, I've got nothing. I need help. And in those moments, you wish you could reproduce yourself. You say to yourself, perhaps, if there are only 2, 3, 4, or 50 of me, maybe we could accomplish this task. When I think of that very question, I think of Peggy Austin, who runs the Trading Post. Anybody know and love Peggy? So a number of years ago, the opportunity came to us that the Trading Post, which exists right in the heart of downtown, the metropolis of Springville, this ministry that serves the people in that community, the leader, the then executive director came to us and said, I just can't run this anymore. Does your church want to assume control of the Trading Post? So we had a meeting in Springville, and we invited people from our church who lived in and around the Springville area to come and to hear what was happening. And at the end of that meeting, I'll never forget it, Peggy came up to me, and she said, Paul, I think the Lord's telling me I need to run the Trading Post. She had no idea what she was getting herself into. No idea. So in the weeks and months that followed, the transition happened. Peggy took control of the Trading Post, but she knew this from the beginning, and she lives it out to this day. She knew she could not do it by herself. And she's gathered this team of volunteers, this team of ministry partners around her who make the Trading Post happen in a most incredible way. And Peggy's volunteers, oh, don't clap for yourselves. Oh, Peggy's right here. It's a true, she even said it's a, thank you for all you do at the Trading Post, Peggy. Thank you. Yeah. A lesser person than Peggy would have not survived. But she had this group of people around her that encouraged her, that held her up, that day to day who held your arms up like Moses' arms were held up so you could do the things you needed to do at the Trading Post. And actually, they have a clothing drive. This is a commercial. I didn't intend for this, but it works out perfectly, Peg. I call Peggy Peggles. I abbreviate everybody's name. I'm sorry. It's just the way I get in trouble for it sometimes. But Peggy's having a clothing drive. If you don't like what you're wearing this morning and you're trying to find a way to get rid of it, you can drop it off at the van afterwards, or you can go home and clean out. Peggy will be there with her volunteers. Last week, we talked about how God speaks to us, how he speaks through people, both in the past, in the Old Testament, we see how he spoke through the prophets and even burning bushes and donkeys and all different kinds of ways he spoke. And then we talked about Jesus last week and how Jesus spoke to people and continues to speak to people today. He speaks to reveal himself, his purposes and his ways. He speaks to us in a way that we can understand. If we take time to get to know him and listen. One of the reasons God speaks to all of us is so that we can partner with him in his work in the world. You see, God understands that if we're going to reach everybody in our world, that Jesus couldn't have done it by himself. So what God does is he reproduces Jesus in each and every one of us. Just like Peggy has a whole team of ministry partners at the Trading Post, God has a whole team of people in our world who are loving and serving our world in amazing and profound ways. And that those people are you and me. We are the ones that God has selected. He has chosen to bring his message of salvation and hope and love to the entire world. But he doesn't ask us to do this on our own. He doesn't say, and I picked on Sarah last service, he doesn't say, Sarah, go out, you're here twice in a row. He doesn't say to Sarah, Sarah, go out in the world and as by yourself share your love. He goes along with us when he says that. He links arms with us. He carries us through the ups and the downs. We hear from God through his Holy Spirit. And I can't wait to share all that I have to share with you today, because as we talk about the Holy Spirit and his work in the world, there's few things that get me as excited as the presence of the Spirit in my life. Because as I lead this church, as I lead my family, as I do the things the Lord has called me to do, I am not alone. As the Lord calls you to do things in this world and to live your life for him, you are not alone. The very presence of God goes with you, guiding your steps, directing you, leading you, showing you the directions you are to take. This morning, we're going to look at scriptures in John 14 and John 16. This part of scripture in John is called the Upper Room Discourse. It's just before Jesus is about to be handed over to be crucified. And it's this time where Jesus has this last opportunity to teach his disciples. This last moment to share all the things that he really feels they need to do. And in this moment, in 14 and 16 in John, he teaches them about the Holy Spirit because he sees the importance of the Spirit's work in our world. He understands that without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and empowering us, we're like sheep without a shepherd. Last week, we talked about sheep and shepherds. When we live this life without the presence of the Spirit in us, we're like sheep without a shepherd. We're tossed around by the wind and waves of life. We're essentially on our own. So as we look at the scriptures today and what Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit, I hope that you're encouraged and that you leave here just feeling ready to take on the challenges that come before you, because you're not leaving alone. Now, you rode with people here, so maybe you're physically going home with people, but in your heart, in your life, you are not alone. So let's jump into John 16, four through six. I did not tell you this from the beginning. When he says that, I did not tell you this from the beginning. I didn't tell you all the struggles and everything that were coming. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. Imagine the grief that the disciples felt. They had just walked with Jesus during 3 years. They saw everything he did. They heard most of the words he spoke. And now he's telling them, I'm leaving you. We did everything together for these 3 years. I taught you. You saw me. You saw me heal. You saw me do miracles. You saw all of these things. And now I am leaving you. And that's why I said, you may be filled with grief. In his farewell speech to his disciples, he's telling them that you will have grief in this world, that it's going to be hard and challenging. Let me tell you, church, In this world, each and every one of you are going to have challenges that are going to be hard. There are going to be attacks against Christians in our world, whether you're feeling it now or you feel it someday. There are going to be attacks that are going to be really hard to stand up under. We shouldn't expect anything else. Jesus told his disciples, it's going to be hard. You will experience grief in this world. And as his followers, we will experience the same thing. Thanks for the bright, sunny message, Paul. I appreciate that. But I never want anybody to be deceived to think that as soon as you start following Jesus, all your problems are going to fade away, because they won't. But what you will have is a Savior who walks alongside you through all of them, empowering you, giving you strength day after day to take on the challenges that come your way. You will have a Holy Spirit that resides in you, as we'll talk about in just a few moments. You will have the very presence of God in you. So when the challenges come, you're not alone, because there will be hard points. You have all experienced them. But we go knowing that God is going with us. Isn't that good news? You're not alone. Up to this point, Jesus was talking, walking and talking with them, but he needed to go. And look at this next verse in John 16:7. He tells you why he needed to go. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your own good that I am going away. Come on, Jesus, you're nuts. How can it be good for you that you, good for us that you're going away? That sounds ridiculous to the disciples. But unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Don't miss this. Jesus is saying, it's good that I'm leaving this world. Because when I go, I will send another. I will send the advocate. In Greek, the word is parakletos. I will send the parakletos to you. The advocate, the helper, my very spirit. And he will be with all of you all the time. Come on, Jesus, how does that work? What do you mean the Spirit of God, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit is better than if you were here with us? Let me tell you, here standing today, it is so much better for you and me, because the Holy Spirit can be with us everywhere we go, each and every day. Jesus was confined to one location at one point. When he was with people, he was there. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. And it says it in the scripture, unless I go away, the advocate will not go to you, come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So here we see that the Holy Spirit is always with you. As we're talking about when God speaks and how do we hear God's voice, it's important to understand that as we talk about the Holy Spirit and God speaking through the Spirit, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is always with you. I remember growing up in church, and they used to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we're in October, and kids think, I don't know what kids think. I remember what I used to think. What's this Holy Spirit? It sounds sort of spooky. The Holy Spirit is anything but spooky. It's the very presence of God in your life, with you, everywhere you go. Don't miss that. And God sends him to us. In the Old Testament, God was limited to the temple, as his presence resided in the temple. When Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, and the Spirit was available to everybody. And he's available to you and me every day, everywhere we go. This is a mind-blowing idea. It's an exponential way of expanding the kingdom around the world. Just like we started with, Peggy has her volunteers at the trading post, but we have the Holy Spirit with us everywhere we go as we lead in love in this world. He wants to partner with us. Let me change that. We get to partner with Jesus. We get to be his hands and feet in this world. Don't write. That is exciting. You don't go through life on your own when you know Jesus. We get to partner with him to bring hope and healing and grace and peace and his very presence to the world. We get to partner with Jesus, and his Spirit is alive in us, guiding us and directing us and helping us as our advocate. He will never leave us. John 14, 16, he, the Father, will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is present from generation to generation, from century to century, never leaving those who follow him. Now you may be saying, Paul, you've said that a few times recently. There's a reason I say it, because I want you to grasp a hold of that idea and understand that it's true. I hear people all the time, I'm so lonely in the world, I don't understand. I just feel so alone. You're never alone. The Holy Spirit is always with you. John 14, 17, for he lives with you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is alive in you. How do you know that he's there? Because Jesus says that he is. And we have to trust him at his word. The Holy Spirit is always with you. He lives in us forever. I could stop right there, because that's a concept in and of itself that is so incredible. But as we're talking about when God speaks in the Holy Spirit, how does the Spirit speak to us? What do we listen for? How do we know it's him who is speaking? Let's continue in chapter 16, verse 8. When he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong. Well, that's great. Thanks, Jesus. In the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. This is Jesus speaking. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. You can be sure that the Holy Spirit speaks truthfully. That what you hear and experience from the Spirit is truthful. And in that section of verses, there's three things that pop to the surface. The Holy Spirit knows the world, and their basic sin is refusing to believe in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit stands to tell people that there's a different, a better way to live life. That the sin that we're so easily entangled in can be shed and we can have fellowship with God above. But how many in our world don't even want to admit that there's a sin problem? How many in our world don't even want to admit that there's something that's holding them back from experiencing the richness and the fullness of our God? Person after person says that's nonsense, that's rubbish. But it's true. If you're here today and you're saying, what's this sin thing he's talking about? Come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to talk more about it. But sin separates us from God, and the Holy Spirit has come, as John wrote, to tell us that there's a sin problem, to tell people that there's a different way. He's also come to tell us about righteousness, and that righteousness doesn't come from somebody's morals or their intellect. Just because you think you're doing the right thing or you have the right answers, just because you think you have, you heard somebody on YouTube and you think that's the right way to go. As you're on Instagram and you get this algorithm and it keeps feeding you the things you want to hear and see over and over, which are totally void of truth. The world wants to head us in that direction, but Jesus is saying, no, there's this righteousness that comes from following me in my ways. There's this righteousness that comes when you follow me with all of your heart and you live differently in this world. Sin is so much more than an oops or I made a mistake. It grabs our hearts and pulls us away from God. And righteousness, when we grab, righteousness comes from God above, and as Jesus goes to the Father, he invites us to live in that place of righteousness where we follow God in his ways. When the world tells us that so many of the evils of the world are right, we can stand on the truth of the gospel and say, no, they're not. When the world tells us that abortion is okay, we can stand on the truth of the gospel and say, no, it isn't. You don't understand. but the world is dragging our attention in one direction, and it's not a righteous way to live. And thirdly, the Spirit also shows the world what is wrong about judgment. Satan has already received his sentence, which will be fully carried out when Jesus returns and brings his full kingdom and righteousness. But anyone who partakes in the righteousness of God, we can escape the coming judgment of the world. As our hearts are sold out to Jesus, and as we listen to the Holy Spirit and live our lives in different ways, we will not be convicted alongside the rest of the world at the final moment. We will walk with our Lord. As I was writing this message and as we were working on it as a preaching team, when we got to this point, we said, wow, this is heavy, but it's the truth of our world. Jesus said, John wrote, he will prove the world to be in the wrong. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said about sin and righteousness and judgment, he will show that the world is doing it the wrong way. But as we grab a hold of the Spirit, he will convict us to know what sin truly is and to not live by the world's standards, by God's. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we are made righteous by following Jesus, not the ways of the world. That's rubbish. But as we set our mind and our attention on Jesus, and as we listen to the Holy Spirit directing us in that direction, we live righteously. And then as we follow the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will not fall into the judgment of this world. Listening to the presence of the Holy Spirit and his voice in our lives is incredible. Overall, the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, and the truth of Jesus should be reflected through us each and every day. Leading to our final point, the Holy Spirit speaks the heart of Jesus. He will not speak on his own, it says in John 16. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit is not saying something new that's never been said before. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, which live in perfect unity with each other. The Holy Spirit speaks what he hears from the Father and the Son directly to your heart, and they line up perfectly with one another. You can know that as you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, it is God talking to you. People sometimes say, I never hear God speak to me. Well, you're not listening close enough. Because he's always speaking, he's always working. The Holy Spirit will never contradict anything that Jesus says. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the words of Scripture, ever. If you want to test what the Holy Spirit is teaching you, and we'll talk about this in our study this week, look for it in Scripture. And if you feel the Spirit is telling you to go in a direction that Scripture would say is not true, it's not true, and you're not hearing properly. But the Spirit will always direct you to truth. This week in our study, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, if you're following along in the study guide, you will learn how the Holy Spirit enables you. You will learn how to be acquainted with the Spirit's work in the world. You will learn about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You will learn about being led and what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. And then the last day on Friday, if you do it Monday through Friday, you will learn what it looks like to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know what my vision is for this church? That weekly, each and every one of us hear from the Holy Spirit. And maybe not that we hear, but we're able to listen to, because I believe you already are hearing from the Spirit. I know I am. And as you hear from the Holy Spirit, you're able to listen and obey. In one of my seminary classes this week, they have us, it's an incredible assignment where they want us to do 6 random acts of kindness as the Holy Spirit enables us. So if I buy you a cup of free coffee today, you know it was the Holy Spirit that told me to do it. But how about we did that as a church? What about this week? If each and every one of us were listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, and when he told us to do something, we actually did it. We didn't give excuses why we shouldn't. We didn't try to say, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I don't have time for that. When the Spirit tells you to do something, you did it. What if all of us in this room or those watching online actually took that seriously? A friend said to me between services just now, he said, if the Spirit's telling you to do something and it doesn't hurt somebody and it's not illegal, why wouldn't you do it? What's holding you back? Because as we live that way, we begin to fulfill God's purposes in the world. He may be telling you to volunteer for a ministry. He may be telling you to buy someone's coffee this week. He may be telling you just to sit and listen to somebody in their distress. But as we hear and listen and obey, we get to experience God working through us. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we have ears that are ready to hear and then hearts that are ready to act? If we're going to take our name as a church seriously, Revive, you want to start to revive our community and revive your neighbors and coworkers and the kids you go to school with, start to live that way. I dare you, because you will see God work through you in ways you've never dreamt possible. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this chance to teach on and to learn about the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that in the days that follow, we would listen to that still small voice. We would listen to that impression we have on our heart. We would listen to however you speak to us, and we would act on it. And as you call us to help and to serve in our world and to take care of our neighbors and widows in distress, as you would call us to do these things, we wouldn't push it off and say, sorry, I'm too busy, but we would engage and sense your pleasure as we do. God, these are the kinds of things that change a church, and I pray that you would change our church through our actions, that our community would notice that there's something different about the people who attend Revive. We thank you for this morning and this chance to learn together. I pray for everybody who's doing the study this week as they learn about the Holy Spirit, that you would encourage them so that they may live differently in this world. So we thank you, Father. And I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.